right. Morning, Life Point Church. How is everybody doing? Good, good, good. Well, thank you all so much for being here. Excited to see you. Missed you guys last week. Me and Jen went out of town. We had that plan for a little while, so we got to go out of town and see the Reds play the Red Sox, so that was awesome. Never seen the Red Sox play, so I was pretty excited about that. And they put a whooping on the Reds, so that made it even better. So I was glad that that happened. So, but missed you guys. Glad to be back. Glad to see everybody. Today we're having our first communion service as a merged congregation, so I'm really, really excited about that. Communion service, we do the first Sunday of every month. It's such a beautiful symbol and what it represents, so we're excited to do this as a new family. So today, we're going to go ahead and just jump right in. So a few weeks ago, when we essentially launched our newly merged church, we started off by focusing on our mission, right? We wanted to kind of set that stage and really just discuss what the church should be about, right? What our church's mission is and what our mission is as individual Christ followers and how we're all called and we're all needed in that mission. So we talked about that and we dove in and explored that. And the reality, though, is that unfortunately, there's a lot of people that claim the name of Christ that aren't on mission, right? There's a lot of churches in our world that are kind of going through the motions, but they're not necessarily on mission. Safe to say that they're kind of on the sidelines, right? They're on the sidelines. They're not in the game. They're just observers. They're at times disengaged onlookers. They're not actually living out in an active way the mission. And again, we're all called, every single one of us as followers of Christ, to be on that mission, to go and make disciples, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We know that. We know that that's our mission. We know that that's what we should be about. But many times we find ourselves lost, sidelined, not active, not living it out day to day. And so what I want to do for the next 4 weeks, we're going to start a new series called Sidelined. And we're going to be discussing some of the more destructive elements that we allow to creep into our life and kind of take over that keeps us off mission. What I will refer to in this series is it'll keep us sidelined, right? We're on the sidelines. We're just watching the game. We're not actually in the game making an impact. So we're, throughout the series, we're going to talk about things like bitterness, worry, anger, lies, things that we allow to creep into our lives and in our hearts that keep us disconnected from God and distracted, ultimately off mission, not focused on what we should be about as followers of Christ. So today, this week one, we're going to kick this off by talking about bitterness. Bitterness is a tough one. It's toxic. It is not good. But I would say that every single person that's sitting in here today has been affected by bitterness, whether in your own life or in the life of someone else around you, right? How many of you this morning would be honest enough and say that at some point in time over the past 6 months, or maybe even right now, that there's a situation, a circumstance that you're bitter about, or there's an individual or a person or a group of individuals that you're harboring bitterness towards? Like I said, either now or, you know, over the past year. How many would be honest and say that? I'm going to raise my hand, right? We all struggle with bitterness from time to time. I think about, it used to frustrate me so much because my high school basketball coach used to always, like, anytime you're upset about something, he's like, don't be bitter. And I'm like, well, you saying don't be bitter is making me bitter. So stop saying that, right? But bitterness, we all struggle with that. Like I said, it could be that specific person or that circumstance in your life or whatever it may be. But the thing with bitterness is not only does it affect you and your relationship with God, but it's one of those things that kind of just spews out on everybody else around you. And it creates this toxic environment wherever you're at and wherever you go. And sadly today, people all over are sidelined. Good people that claim the name of Christ are sidelined and off mission because of bitterness in their life. So let's go ahead and check out what God's word has to say about bitterness. And we're gonna begin in Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 14 and 15. And it says this. It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Could do a whole message series just right there on that. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Boom, mic drop. That's awesome. Verse 15, see to it that no one falls short or misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root, there it is, no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See to it that no bitter root grows up, because that bitter root will consume you. It will consume your heart. It will take over. It will distract you. It will tear you apart from the inside out and then just spew over everybody else. See to it that no bitter root grows up within you. So with that being said, let's look at, just from this, break this verse down real quick a little bit. Two biblical thoughts that we see about bitterness. They're pretty straightforward and they're right there, but they're powerful. The first one, if you're taking notes, is that bitterness has a dangerous root. All right, bitterness has a dangerous root. Scripture is very clear in this in 15. It says, see to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. So it makes me think, how does that bitter root grow? Right? How does that root of bitterness begin to form? Well, let's think about it as a root, right? The bitter root. It matures in it, and it's fed in the soil of a deep hurt. Right? Someone hurts you or hurts someone that you love. And it starts to grow because it feeds on that. It absorbs that hurt. Those hurts that aren't dealt with properly. It feeds that root and it grows and it grows. Just like a root does. Root absorbs all that water. The plant grows. Same thing with our bitterness. Those hurts, that pain we don't deal with. It matures in that soil of that hurt. But see, Scripture in 1 Corinthians tells us that the love keeps no record of wrong, right? Love, true love, real love, keeps no records of wrongs. Therefore, we're supposed to forgive people. We're supposed to forgive them. We're supposed to show people mercy, compassion, love, grace, forgiveness. That's what we're called to do. That's what true love does. But bitterness keeps a detailed record of wrongs, right? It holds those grudges. I mean, I'll never forgive them for what they did to me. I'll never let them forget it. I'm going to remind them every time I see them. That bitterness, it grows. It's that dangerous root. It absorbs that hurt and that pain and that anger. And from that, the second thing that we see from Scripture is that bitterness produces a poisonous fruit. Right? When that root begins to grow in the soil of that hurt, it starts to produce toxic and poisonous fruit in your life. Negativity, hatred, anger, jealousy, resentment, and a plethora of other things that are toxic to our lives and to our relationships. Bitterness. It's a dangerous root that produces a dangerous fruit. Verse 15 in the New Living Translation says it this way. It says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Right? Because it troubles you and it corrupts others. When you have that bitterness in your life, it's growing and it's growing and it's producing more toxic fruit, more poisonous fruit, and it's affecting you and affecting everyone that you're around, right? I mean, we see it all the time. I mean, think about at your work. I mean, have you ever noticed that you could have, like, in your office suite or whatever department you're in, you could have, like, this great culture and this great vibe going on, and you can just drop one bitter person in the mix of it, and it changes the game. It changes everything. Because they're throwing their negativity and their anger and their bitterness and their frustration, and they just keep talking about it and they're just throwing it everywhere, right? Because it's that poisonous fruit in their life. All right, same thing with families. Holidays are coming up soon. You're going to be going, being around a lot more of your family. You all know who that one family member is that's bitter as all get out, right? And they're going to come with their bitterness, and they're going to make everything bitter. And if you don't know who that person is, it might be you if you don't know it. But it's the same thing with our families. We see it. Churches, unfortunately, it's the same thing. You throw a bitter person here or a bitter person there within a church, and it can be toxic, right? Because that poisonous fruit is spreading, and it's out there, and it puts us on the sideline. It keeps us off mission, and then we get distracted about what we're really called to do and what we're really supposed to be doing, just spreading the gospel, reaching out and loving the world, loving God, loving people. But you see, bitterness, man, it's a dangerous root. And it produces that toxic fruit. So to help us understand bitterness a little better, to know what it looks like, I want to share with you quickly 5 qualities of bitter people. Because seriously, sometimes our heart becomes so hardened and we get so bitter that we don't realize that we're struggling with bitterness. So I'm here to help you to see if that's you. You're welcome. You're welcome. But seriously, as we go through these things, I want you to be real honest with yourself. I want you to investigate. Don't just brush it to the side because it's easy. But if you find yourself in one of these qualities, own that and begin to work on that. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But the first quality that we see with bitter people is that bitter people tend to justify their bitterness, right? Right? They justify their bitterness. You know, well, after what they did to me, I deserve to be angry. What they did to my family, I deserve to be bitter towards them, right? I'm going to be angry. I deserve it. I went through all this pain and this hurt or this frustration or this group of people did this or I don't like the way they're doing that and I've done this for so long. Man, I'm over that and I have a right to be bitter. Bitter people, man, I've seen that so often. I've done that myself where I'm so bitter. I'm like, no, I earned my bitterness, right? We justify our bitterness. If you're bitter and you're struggling with that, you tend to justify it. You find reasons to say that it's okay. Pretty typical. It's because that dangerous root is growing within you. You're making excuses. You're making reasons to justify your bitterness. The second quality of bitter people is they tend to become overcritical, right? Overly critical. Those people that are bitter, they're struggling with it in their life. It wells up. They're quick to judge and pick apart that person that they're bitter towards. Like, honestly, if you're bitter towards someone, they're probably not ever. You'll never be able to look at them objectively again. You're going to pick apart every little bitty thing about them. Whether there's an issue or not, you're going to find one. Because you're overly critical, because you're bitter. You're bitter towards her. She walks in, you're like, well, look at her. Walking in here with her new purse like she's something special. Right? Overly critical. Or the guy at work that you're bitter towards, he's frustrated, and he actually gets up and he gives a great presentation. And you're like, well, guess Mr., you know, suck up over there is going to get, you know, the next promotion. He did a great job. He's doing a good job. But you're critical. Or he said, 5 times, and I was marking it. Yeah, don't do that. Pay attention to what's going on. You come overly critical. We do it in our marriages, too. Right? Your spouse hurt you or did something at some point in time, and then for the rest of your lives, it's, man, he can't do anything right. Or she can't do anything right. Because you store that bitterness right there. And things could be great, and then one little thing happens, like, see, you never can do anything right. You're overly critical, picking them apart. And it's because of bitterness in your life. The third quality of bitter people is that they secretly celebrate misfortunes. That's one that a lot of people don't want to claim, but I see it. I've experienced it. I've done it. You're bitter at this person, and then something doesn't go right, or you know something bad happens, and you're like, hey, that's God just evening the score. He said you're going to reap what you sow, and buddy, you're sowing right now. Oh, well. It's that bitterness. It's toxic. It's not good. Or how many of you have been driving down the expressway on the water, saying, you know, that's 55 and it's really like 65 or 70, or you'll get run over, but you're going somewhere and someone flies up behind you, they're riding your tail, and they slide over and they shoot off, and you're like, okay, buddy, like, Mr. Important, I hope you get where you're supposed to go. And then you get another mile down the road and they're pulled over on the side of the road and you're like, you're celebrating, right? You're kind of happy that, like, that's what you get, right? Yeah, it is a safety issue, you're right. I'll take it a step further, and I've not secretly celebrated that. Like, I've had that person behind me, like, flashing their brights, like, ready to go, and they shoot around me and go, and I'm just verbalizing, like, man, I hope they get a ticket. I hope they get a flat tire. I don't want them to get hurt, but I hope they get a flat tire, and it ruins their day. I got to work on that. It's not okay. I'm not justifying that. I'm not saying that that's okay. That is wrong, and I'm working on that, but I've experienced that in my own life. It's that bitter root, right? And we begin to celebrate others' misfortunes because of our bitterness. The fourth quality of bitter people is they tend to write off entire groups of people, right? They lump entire groups of people into that category, that one person that hurt them. And we see this with relationships, you know, all the time. You know, that woman who was hurt by the guy, and then so she writes off men altogether, like, I'm just not even going to deal with that. Like, all guys are scumbags. I don't want anything to do with them. And then anytime a good guy actually walks around, they're like, nope, back up. You're all scum, right? Or with the guy who gets cheated on, you know, by his girlfriend or spouse or whatever it may be, and then, you know, then all women are this or that or whatever, and they lump them into this category because of their bitterness. Again, it affects them. It's that dangerous root. It produces a very toxic fruit. Very toxic. And we see this with church and with God, right? Where someone's at church and you know, the pastor says something that they didn't like or didn't do something they thought he should do, or someone in the church said something, and there was somehow they got hurt at the church level. And then so what they do is then they write off that individual or that pastor, right? Or then they take it a step further, they write off that church. But then some of them go even further than that and they write off churches altogether because of one bad experience, because of that bitterness. Or unfortunately, they even write off God completely because of one person. Or maybe not even because of one person, just because of what they perceived to be wrong. Because they lump that into one category. And a lot of times it's just because people write off entire groups of people because of bitterness. The final and fifth quality that we see with bitter people is that they struggle to see their own bitterness in a mirror. Right? So sometimes it's good to hear things like this to help us to focus in on reality. The reality is we may be bitter. We may be so bitter and our hearts so hard that we don't even realize it. Everyone else does, but you may not. You may be sitting there thinking right now, man, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this message because they really need to hear it. And then the person sitting next to you is kind of glancing over like every once in a while. They're thinking, well, I hope they're listening because they're bitter. Because we struggle to see it in the mirror. And it's toxic. It's toxic, and it keeps us disconnected from God because we've let this bitter root well up inside of us and grow and grow and grow, and it keeps us off mission. It's toxic. So as we go through these five qualities of bitter people, what about you? What about you? Are you struggling with bitterness in your life? Is that root growing in your heart? Bitterness. That dangerous root. Is there that poisonous fruit that's on display? What about you? So with that said, I want to ask, just come right out and ask you this question this morning. And I really want you to think about it. I don't want you to push this to the side. I want you to really think about it. Do the tough work. But with whom or at what are you bitter? With whom or at what are you bitter? Spend time in prayer this week. asking God to reveal to you any root of bitterness that's in your life. Don't just sit there and think quickly, oh, nope, not bitter, I'm good. Really dig and do the work, because sometimes it's tough to see. Spend time in prayer this week asking God to reveal to you if there's any bitter root within you. With whom or what are you bitter? Maybe you've got this deep-rooted bitterness in your heart. You know you've got a long journey ahead. Man, pray that God will reveal that to you. You start doing the work. Connecting with him and seeking him together and doing that work. Or maybe it's this tiny little root, bitterness, that's starting to form. Man, catch it quick. Get rid of it. Destroy it. Don't let it consume you. Where are you bitter? Maybe it's as small as a coworker got the promotion that you knew you deserved, right? You knew you deserved it. They're a slacker. They only got it because they know so-and-so and this and that, whatever. And then you got that bitter root that's forming. Man, cut it off. Get rid of it. Or maybe it's a little more intense than that, and there's someone in your life that's telling lies about you, right? Spreading rumors, challenging your character. And that's tough. And starting to form that bitterness. Or maybe it's more personal than that. Maybe it's with your parents. Maybe you have some bitterness towards your parents that you know, when you were growing up, that your dad wasn't there for you. Wasn't there like they were supposed to be. Or your mom was an alcoholic and she abused you or she neglected you or whatever it may be. And you got that root that just sits there. And it sits there and it's toxic. Maybe someone took advantage of your generosity, your good-heartedness, and you were trying to do the right thing, and they took advantage of that, and it's created that bitter root that's starting to grow. Again, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe years ago, your spouse did something, maybe something awful, and it seriously wounded you, and you got that hurt. And sure, you stayed together, but you've never addressed it. You've never really dealt with it. You've never allowed God to come into that and bring that healing in your marriage that needs to happen. You just let that bitter root sit there. And then it absorbs more hurt and more hurt. And then you're overly critical and you're picking them apart. And there's more hurt and there's more hurt until it's affecting your marriage, your family, your kids, your work, your church. Because that bitter root. With whom or at what are you bitter? I mean, let's keep it real. There's some of you that might be bitter towards God. If that's where you're at, own it. And begin to seek him. Maybe you're bitter at God because you prayed for this thing to happen. You know that he has all power and he can do all things, yet he didn't answer that prayer. Or he didn't heal this person. Or he didn't do this or that in your timing when you wanted, and you're bitter. Don't allow that to fester. Take that to God. Seek his face for healing. Maybe you're bitter at the church. You wanted it to be this way, or you wanted this to happen, or you thought this or that, and it's created bitterness. Release that. Release that to God at his feet. Maybe you're bitter at yourself. Right? You're very critical of yourself, and you're bitter at yourself. Man, how could I have done this again? How could I have fallen to the same sin over and over again? How could I have let this happen? How could I have done this? Why didn't I do that? Why did I do this? And you're bitter at yourself. Or maybe you're more like me and you're quick to forgive people that wrong you, but when someone wrongs someone that you love, your wife, your husband, your children, your family, then it's on. Right? And that bitter root grows. And you have bitterness because of what may have been done to someone you love. It's that bitter root. It's dangerous. It's toxic. It's destructive. We can't brush it to the side. With whom or what are you bitter? And I want you to acknowledge it today. It's not easy. Do the tough work. Acknowledge it today, because the longer you allow that root to grow, the more difficult it is going to be to kill, to get rid of. So with that being said, how do we kill the root of bitterness? How do we eliminate it and eradicate it from our lives? How do we get rid of that bitter root? And the answer, honestly, is simple to identify, incredibly difficult to live out. So you're welcome. Good luck. But it is difficult. I want to acknowledge that. It's not easy. So how do we kill the root of bitterness? We kill bitterness simply with forgiveness. Forgiveness. That's how we kill that bitter root. That's how we snuff it out and get rid of it. Sever it. We do that with forgiveness. It's the only answer. With forgiveness. And again, I acknowledge it's not easy. There's some of you here today that have experienced some very painful things at the hands of other people. You've experienced those deep wounds and that hurt. And I'm not pretending to act like that's easy to get over and that's easy to forgive someone that maybe did that hurting. I understand that. I get it. But there's no way around this. We're called to forgive. And forgiveness is how we do that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, right? Right there. Get rid of all bitterness. And then he goes into saying things that those poisonous fruits, right? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And then verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Man, forgiveness is key. It's crucial. We've got to get rid of bitterness in our life. If you've got bitterness in your life, it's been there far too long. Even if it just developed this morning, it's been here far too long. And it's already wreaking havoc in your life. We've got to sever the root of bitterness. And we do that with forgiveness. It's necessary. We have to. And again, I know that it's difficult. There's probably some of you here right now that are like, Andy, that's great, but I don't even want to forgive this person. Like, there's nothing in me right now that wants to forgive them. I get that. But we have to be able to take steps forward towards forgiveness, to releasing that bitterness and that anger. And many times, we can't do that by ourselves. We've got to have God. We've got to have his power to help us through that. We have to. But you start from step one. Step one is being honest with God, being honest with yourself, right? Maybe for you, you don't want to forgive this person. And the only thing that you can do in this moment is just say, God, I don't want to forgive this person. I don't want to forgive them. I know I need to, and I'm struggling with that, so help me. Help me to have the desire to forgive them and just be with them. And maybe that's your prayer to God, and he will begin to bring healing to your heart. He'll begin to change you from the inside out so that you can come to the place where you can forgive that person, because it's necessary. Not easy, but it's necessary. Forgiveness many times is a process. It's a process. Process of seeking God, prayer, and doing the things that Scripture tells us to do. When we are connected to God and we don't let that bitterness consume us, we're going to be able to move to the place where we can begin to forgive. I think about the last few words of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 that we just read. It says, forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. I mean, think about that. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So when you're struggling to forgive that person, think about the things that God has forgiven you of. We're quick to claim forgiveness for ourselves and receive God's forgiveness. But many times we don't want to offer it to anybody else. Because of bitterness. So what has God forgiven you of? Think about that. I mean, for me personally, in my life, I've been a liar, a thief, a bully. I've taken God's name in vain. I've been lustful, lazy. I've been full of pride, hate, anger. I've been unloving. I've been judgmental. I've been all these things throughout my life. And God has forgiven me. He's offered that forgiveness. So why in the world would I not offer it to other people? He's extended his grace and his mercy and his love to someone like me. Therefore, I'm going to forgive like he forgave me. We start doing the things that Scripture tells us to do. Do the things that God has commanded us to do. Scripture says we're to do the same thing. Forgive as God forgave. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And so someone hurts you, man, I get it. And I'm so sorry. And I'm going to hurt with you. Someone just really, really did some heinous things to you or to your family or to the people you love. Man, I'm going to sit in that pain with you. I'm going to be here for you. And as a church, we're going to lift each other up in those things. But at the same time, you've got to move towards forgiveness. You can't let it fester because it's a dangerous root and it's going to absorb every hurt and it's going to grow and it's going to grow and it's going to grow. And that person, that pain, that person that hurt you, you're going to allow them to hurt you over and over and over and over again through bitterness. And it's time to break that cycle. It's time to sever that root. With whom or what are you bitter? I mean, you've got a choice. Don't act like you don't. You've got a choice in what you want to do with this today. You can keep drinking the poison, hurting yourself, hurting everyone around you, and just stay with your bitterness. Or you can stop. You can kill that root of bitterness. You can go before God and say, God, bring healing in my life. Bring healing in my heart. Cleanse me from this bitterness. Remove this bitter root from my life. And I can't do it on my own because I don't want to forgive them. But God, help me to be forgiving. Help me to take that step forward because I'm not going to let this person continue to hurt me. I'm not going to let this situation continue to define me. I'm not going to allow this bitterness to affect everyone around me. So I'm going to kill it. I'm going to release it. I'm going to trust that you're going to bring that healing. I'm not going to let bitterness keep me sidelined any longer. I'm going to draw close to you, God. And when you do that, he's going to walk right there with you. He's going to destroy that bitter root. And sure, it may be a process, but it's a process worth going through. Because at the end, you'll be back on mission, connected to the Father, and building beautiful relationships in your life. Doesn't mean things are going to be perfect, but you got to continue to go on that journey. Through God's power today, I challenge you to kill off that root of bitterness. Let's pray. God, we thank you again. God, we thank you so much for your presence. God, we thank you for the fact that we can come into this place today and lift your name up. Sing of your goodness and your grace and your mercy, Lord, and just worship you, Lord. That we can read and hear your word. God, we're so thankful for that. Lord, and I pray for each person today, God, that's here, that you would just speak truth over them. God, in this moment, speak truth into our hearts and our lives. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here today and you've never stepped over that line of faith. Maybe it's because of bitterness. Maybe there's that bitter root inside of you that you went to church before, or and someone hurt you, or someone said something negative to you or judged you or whatever it may be, and because of that, you've just totally pushed God away. I'm here to tell you this morning that God loves you, that's not him. us fallen people, us flawed people. We're not perfect, but you need to release that bitter root and run into his arms. Man, he loves you. Scripture says that he loves you so much that he gave his son to die, to take your place, shed his blood, his perfect blood for you so that you could be made right with God. That's how much he loves you. And you can come to him today. Scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, you will be saved. And today, you can become connected to the Father. Become that new creation in him. You do that through confessing and believing. And if that's you this morning, you're ready to step over that line of faith and give your heart to Christ, man, just call out to him however he leads you where you're at. Just call on him. Just confess and believe. Confess that he is who he said he is, that he's the Son of God, that he died and rose again for you, and you believe that in your heart. Confess that you have flaws and that you have sin in your life, that you're not perfect and that you're in desperate need of a Savior. You just confess and believe. He's faithful and just, and he will connect you to him for all eternity. Maybe you're here and you've been a Christ follower for some time, but man, you've got some bitter roots, some bitterness in your heart, bitterness in your life. Man, it's time to cut that, sever it, kill it off once and for all. Maybe you just need to take step one in that process. Take those baby steps to killing that root. Maybe there's just one baby, little bitty tiny root forming. Go ahead and just eliminate it. Get rid of it. Be on mission. Don't allow anything become in between you and God. Stay on mission. As we continue at this part of our service, we're going to go ahead and transition into our communion service. And if I could have a couple of the leaders.